The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Bo. In Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Aleph, Posuk Aleph, states, Vayema Hashem El Meisha. Hashem said to Moshe, Od nege echot ovi al pare v'al mitzrayim, I will bring one more plague on pare and on Egypt. Achrei chein yishalach eschem mizeh, and afterwards he shall send you out from here. Kishalchei kolo goresh yigoresh eschem mizeh. And he'll send you out in your entirety completely, and he'll chase you out from here. He will force you out. From here we see that the shiluach, the sending out of Egypt, Yetzias Mitzrayim, was to take place with a great zrizus, very rapidly, and a great chesek, very strong, goreshi goresh, he will chase you out, and not easily, not slowly, not through a long time period. If we go a little further, we see this again in Perek Yud Beis Posuk Chof Tes. The Torah tells us, "Vayhi b'chatzi alaylo, v'Hashem hiko kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, b'chor parei, ayeshiv al kisei, ad b'chor ashvi, asher b'beis abor, b'chol b'chor b'hema." It was at midnight. This was midnight, the 15th of Nisan, and Hashem smote all of the firstborn of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pare, who was sitting on the throne, until all the way to the firstborn of the captives that was in the prisons, and all of the firstborn of the animal. Vayokom Pare Lailo, hu v'chol avodom, v'chol Mitzrayim, and Pare got up at midnight. Rashi brings, Lekederech HaMalochim B'Shlei Shavos B'Yayim. Usually kings sleep till 3 hours into the day. They usually get up about 9 o'clock. Here he got up at midnight. V'chol Avodov, and then his servants. Rashi tells us, Hu T'chile V'Achachach Avodim, Malamed Shuhu Yamach Selaboti Avodov Mamidon. First he got up, and then his slaves, then his servants. He went, and he woke up his servants. V'chol Mitzrayim, all of Egypt, and there was a great outcry in Egypt because there was not a house that there were not dead people in the house. Rashi brings that even though Hashem said he'll kill the firstborn, there were many firstborns in each house, because the women of Egypt were unfaithful to their husbands, so they had many firstborns. And he went and he called to Meisha Naren at night. So here Rashi tells us, Magicho Yemakser al Pischio Ir. He went around the city, crying out, Hechon Meisha Shori, where does Meisha live? Hechon Aaron Shori, where does Aaron live? And he went to them, and he said, get up and go out. So here we see the fulfillment of that prophecy. He was chasing them out. You and Israel, and go and serve Hashem like you wanted to. Batechazak Mitzrayim ala om lemaher leshalchom min oretz. And Egypt, with a strong hand, came to push the nation out of their land. Ki omru kulona meisim, because they said, we will all die. See, here again we see that the shiluach, the going out of Egypt, was not something that was going to take a lot of time. and not something that was going to be slow and easy, but with a great strength and very rapidly. Actually, the Medrash tells us that that night Pare tried to chase the people out, but they wouldn't go. They said, no, we are leaving in the morning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to leave at night. He said, that was the night that they sacrificed the Pesach. They ate the sacrifice, and they were not supposed to go out of the house until the morning. And the Medrash brings and Mesha told Pare, he says, we are not Ganovim, thieves that have to leave in the middle of the night. We are going to walk out of Egypt in broad daylight. If we go further, in Posig Lamed Zayin, by Yisuv and Yisrael, Meramse Shukose, Kishesh Beyas, Elef Ragle Agorim Levad Mitoch. And the children of Israel went from the city of Ramses, where they were staying, until Sukkos. Approximately 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. Rashi says, Kufkof mil hoyu. This was a distance of 120 mil. A mil is approximately a kilometer. So it's an approximate distance of 120 kilometers. Ubor shom lefisho. And they came there immediately. Shinemar vo eso eschem al kanfei nishorim. This is what is meant when it states that I shall carry you on the wings of eagles. So this whole distance, they 120 kilometers, was took them a very, very little time. Further it states, Umeisha b'nei Yisrael, posuk mem, asher yosh v'mitzroyim, shleishim shona v'arba meir shona. That Israel dwelled in Egypt for a total of 130 years. This goes back to the time of the Brish Ben Abzorim, when Hashem first spoke to Abraham and told him the decree that they would go down to a land which was not theirs. Leil Shmurim Hu LaHashem. This was a night which was guarded by Hashem. L'haytzion me'eretz Mitzroyim. To take them out of Egypt. Oh, excuse me, I skipped the pasuk. By him, he kate shleishim shona v'arba meir shona. And at the very end of the 430 years, vayhi be'etzem hayom hazeh, on that very day, yotzu kol tzivos Hashem eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem took out all of the children of Israel. What does it say? What does it mean be'etzem hayom hazeh, on that very day? So Rashi tells us. Magid shekiven shegia akeitz, once the time that was allocated for the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, va'ikvan amokam keheref ayin, then the Almighty did not wait a second. Keheref ayin, that means as long as it takes to wink an eyelid. On the 15th of Nisan, Bo Malachi Asheres Shores Eitzel Avram Levasrei. Now, here Rashi explains why was it that this was the time allocated for the going out of Egypt on the 15th of Nisan. So he explains because the decree was Geri Yaza'acho, that your children will be strangers in a land which is not theirs. And the decree started with the birth of Yitzchok, because that's when Avraham had children, Zaracho, and he was sojourning. He was wandering in a land that was not his, even though he was in Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, that was still not his yet. And Hashem counted from the birth of Yitzchok. And Yitzchok was born on Pesach. And the angels came to tell Sora and Avraham that in a year she'll have a child. That was Pesach. That was the 15th of Nisan. And 1 year later, she had a child. So this is when Hashem started to count. So when the 400 years was up from the birth of Yitzchok, and that second Keheref Ayin, immediately he took them out. Lil Shmurim, and this was a day which was guarded, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for, in order to fulfill this promise, the promise of the Geula of redemption. So we see again, consistently, that once the time came, immediately, without any obstacles or without any delay, the Geula, the redemption, took place. The entire episode of the going out of Egypt. Now we see this also, that this is how we were commanded in that generation to eat the Korban Pesach, the sacrifice of the Pesach. A little before in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it states, V'chocho teichlu eisai. And this is how you should eat the Pesach. Mosnechem chagurim na'alechem baraglechem u'makilchem b'yetchem. You should have your belts buckled, your walking shoes on your feet, and your walking sticks in your hands. V'achalte meisei b'chipozein. And you should eat it b'chipozein. Pesach hu l'Hashem, it is a Pesach to Hashem. What does it mean b'chipozein? So Targum Onkelos brings v'seichlun yosei b'vihilu. B'vihilu means with very rapidly, in a great hurriedness. Rashi brings loshen b'holo u'mehirus v'hi David nechpas l'leches. That it's when a person is in a hurry. This is how you should eat it. Actually, the Gemara in Masechta Brachos and Avtes, there's a machlekes in the Gemara, a dispute in the Gemara, that when we eat the Korban Pesach, today we don't eat it because we don't have our Beis Hamikdash, but during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Erev Pesach, everyone came to the Beis Hamikdash, to the temple, and they shechted a lamb or a goat in its first year. Then it was roasted on an open fire, and then it was eaten that night. And that night that was eaten, it was eaten by the Pesach Seder. Today at the Seder we eat matzah and morah. They ate Pesach, matzah and morah. But even though we don't eat it today, we eat the afikamen as a zecher, as a remembrance of the Korban Pesach. Now everyone is familiar that the afikamen is supposed to be eaten before Chatzeis HaLaila, before 12. Why is that? Because the Korban Pesach, the sacrifice, was supposed to be eaten before 12 o'clock. Now, actually, this is a dispute in the Gemara. The Gemara brings an Avtes in Brochus. It states, the Sanya v'ochlu es ha-boser b'layla azeh, you shall eat the flesh, the meat, on this night of the Pesach. Rebbeleze ben Azariah says you should eat it at that night. Here it says night, and it also states that Hashem went throughout Egypt that night. Now when did he go out through Egypt that night? It was b'chatzeis halayla, at midnight. Vayhi b'chatzeis halayla malahala nad chatzeis. So just like over there was midnight, afkan nad chatzeis. Therefore, Rebbeleze ben Azariah holds that you can eat the Korban Pesach until 12 midnight, not further. Omar Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva says, "Balei kvar ne'amar b'chipozon." But it says that you should eat it b'chipozon. You should eat it hurriedly, at shas chipozon, at the time of hurriedness. When was the time of hurriedness? So that was in the morning. Rashi brings the time of hurriedness was in the morning, because they weren't allowed to leave the houses that whole night. They left in the morning, and that's when the rushing was. And it states that you should eat the Pesach in a rush. It means during the time of rushing. Therefore, he holds you can eat it till morning. This is their dispute. Then the Gemara brings a braiso, which tells us a little more. It states like this: Omar Rababa, Hakol Meidim Kishini Golu Yisrael Mitzrayim LeNigol El Be'erav. Everyone agrees that when they were freed from Egypt, when did that take place? That took place at night. Shnemar Hetziacho Hashem Elakecho Mitzrayim Lailo. States that HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed you from Egypt, from the burden of Egypt at night. So when did they become free? They became free when Pare came out and he said, Ku'umu, tzu, go, I have just freed you. See, you're no longer my slaves. And that was at midnight when Hashem came through with the Makas Becheres to smite all of the firstborn. So everyone agrees that the Geula, the actual redemption, took place at night. And that's when we celebrate the Pesach Seder. But, he says, Ukishi Yotsu, everyone agrees, Lo Yotsu Elabiyayim. But they only went out that day. They didn't leave. As we mentioned, Maisha said, we're not leaving. We're going to leave in the morning. So they were freed, but they only left in the morning. Shinemar, as it states, Mimachores HaPesach Yotsu B'nei Yisrael B'yod Ramo. States in the Torah by Midbar Lamed Gimel that on the day after the eating of the Pesach, that's when they went out. So that was the next morning. Salman Echleku. So then, what is the argument here between Reb Lezer and between the Bekiva? Al Shas Kipose. The Torah says that you should eat the Pesach at the time of the rush in a herdiness. What rushing is it referring to? Reb Lezer ben Azariah sover maichi posen mitzich posen the Mitzrayim. Reb Lezer ben Azariah says you should eat. You were supposed to eat it in a rush when Egypt was rushing. When was Egypt rushing? That was at night. They were rushing to get you out because they saw all of the firstborn dying. So they went and they ran through the city, and they were trying to chase all of the Hebrews out. So therefore, you should eat the Pesach until midnight. At the rushing of Egypt, Rabbi Kiva sover my chiposin chiposin Israel, and Rabbi Kiva holds now at the rushing of Israel. When was Israel in a hurry? That was in the morning when they were leaving. So at any rate, though, they were freed at night. They rushed out in the morning. Egypt rushed in the middle of the night to get them out. And it states that you should eat the sacrifice b'chipozein in rushing. Which rushing is it referring to? But at any rate, we see that there was a whole rush here. Now, so the question is why? We've just quoted a number of psukim, and we see consistently that the whole geula, the whole redemption and the going out, was done in a matter of bihilo, with a rushing, chipozon, goresh yigoresh. Why is it? To get a little more insight in this, we'll quote what the Barami Prague explains in the Mitzvah of Matzah. We have another posuk in the Torah, in this parasha. This is Perek Yud Beis, posuk Yud Zayin. It says as follows: Ushmartem es ha-matzois, you shall guard the matzois. Ki be'etzem ha-yem ha-zeh ha-itzesi es sivaisechem eretz Mitzrayim, because on this very day I took out all of the hosts of the Hebrews from Egypt. Ushmartem es ha-yem ha-zeh le-deresechem chukaselom, and you shall guard this day for generations, a statute forever. Ushmartim es ha-matzis, you shall guard the matzis. What does that mean? Rashi tells us, shele yovo'u lidei chimutz. You must guard it that it does not become chometz. When you're making matzis, what do? You take flour from a grain, you mix it with water, you knead it, and you bake it. But you have to watch very carefully that right after you knead it, you should bake it quickly. Otherwise, it will rise, it will leaven, and become chometz. So, ushmartim es ha-matzis, you must guard the matzis, that it should not become chometz, it should not become leavened. Mikan omru, tipech taltish betzeinon. Tofak taltish betzeinon. From here we see, the sages said, that if you see that the dough is starting to rise, then immediately put it under cold water. That will stop it from becoming chometz. Now, why does the Torah hinge the mitzvah ushmartem es ha-matzos, that you shall guard the matzos, on the fact that ki be'etzem ha-yei mezeo he-tzeisi et-tzivaisecha be'eretz Mitzrayim, because on that very day I took you out of Egypt? What does it have to do with the fact of the very day he took us out of Egypt? Then Rashi brings a further drasha. Rabbi Yeshia Amen. Al tikeres es ha-matzos, elo es ha-mitzvos. Do not read this as matzos, but read this as mitzvos. The word matzos and mitzvos are spelled the same. So he says this doesn't only refer to matzah, he says refers also to mitzvahs. In bo liyot ho asya somiyad mitzvah bo liyot al tak matzah. Just like you have to guard the matzahs to quickly bake them so they shouldn't become chometz, you also have to guard a mitzvah, that if a mitzvah comes into your hand, do it right away. Otherwise, if you delay it, it will become chometz. Now this is something also that needs explanation. What does this have to do with mitzvahs? And how do mitzvahs become chometz? So the Maral says as follows. Which is a very deep interpretation. Firstly, he says, that what is the entire difference between chometz and matzah? Not in its ingredients, because matzah is flour that comes from grain with water, and chometz is flour that comes from grain and water. So what is the difference in the ingredients? The only difference in ingredients between chometz and matzah is in the time element. Matzah is where you have flour and water, and chometz is where you have flour and water and time. This is only a difference. One lacks the time ingredient and therefore it was not able to rise and leaven, and the other had the time ingredient and therefore it was able to rise and leaven. So this is the entire difference, distinction between chometz and matzah. Because to make chometz doesn't require any other ingredients. You don't have to put yeast in it, and you don't have to put any sourdough in it, and you don't have to put any other ingredients in it. But if you take water and flour and you leave it stand and it starts to rise, this is chometz. So the entire distinction between the two is the time element itself. Now, this ingredient of time is actually a physical creation. If someone would ask you, describe to me what is time, at first glance, it's very difficult to describe. What is the concept of time? But if we give it some thought, it is actually a physical creation which is part and parcel of the physical world. Why do we say this? Because when we keep time, we are measuring the movement of the sun and the earth and the entire solar system. It's a measure of the movement of the solar system. For example, we count a day. What is a day? A day is a cycle. The cycle of the sun rising. We count a night. The night is the other cycle, where the sun sets until the sun rises. We count a week. A week is seven cycles. We count an hour. An hour is a fraction of that cycle, of that cycle, of that total movement, that complete movement. We'll count a month. So a month is the cycle of the moon, which is actually caused by the reflection of the sun. So again, of the movement of your solar system. We count a year. The year is the measuring of the movement, a total cycle of the earth in relation to the sun. 2 years, 3 years, this is just a repetition of those cycles. So all time is measuring the movement of the solar system, in particular in the relationship to the earth. This is what time is. What would happen if we would stop the solar system? Then there would be no concept of time. We could wind our clocks, but it would be a fictitious time. You're measuring something that's not there. This is what the concept of time is. What governs time? That's the sun. Because our Chazal tell us, the sages tell us, and this seems to be understood also scientifically, that the sun governs the solar system, all of the movement of the solar system. Its magnetic force keeps everything in order. It states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, created the world, so he created the Maor HaGadol, the great light. And this Maor HaGadol, he said, you will be the Melech of the Teva. You will be the king over the nature. Therefore, the strongest force of physical nature, the Torah told us, is the sun. And scientists for generations upon generations upon generations try to learn more about the sun, source of energy, source of heat. But also, it's the duty of the king to keep everything in perfect order. So the sun, in all faithfulness to the Almighty, he keeps the solar system in perfect order. We have no concept of the perfect order of the solar system. One could study the solar system for a million years, and the concept of the perfection of that will never come to. Recently it was written, today they're making discovery after discovery in the solar system, because they have not only new methods and techniques, but new tools to work with all of the space satellites and so forth that they're sending up there. So it's great revelations are coming to them. So what did they come, with what conclusion have they come to? They thought with all of the great revelations we would know more about the solar system. Recently it was written that they've come to the conclusion that everything that we know about the solar system is 1 to 2% of the entire solar system. The more they see, it only opens up new vistas to millions and millions or billions of miles. They don't even measure it by miles, they measure it by light years of what there is. And everything in perfect order. Now, so this is all under the influence of the force that Almighty put in the nature, the sun. He keeps everything moving and everything synchronized. It comes out, therefore, that time is a byproduct of the sun, because it's the measure of his movements and everything that he's causing to move. So it's his byproduct. Now, the sun is a physical creation. He was part of the physical world. So therefore, time also is a physical creation. If we would be free of the physical world, then there would be no movement and no time. The whole concept, the whole reality of time wouldn't be there. So therefore, it's part and parcel of the physical world. Now, if we go further, it is therefore true to say that everything that is tachas HaShemesh, everything in this world that is beneath the influence of the sun, is going to live and be affected and cannot free itself from time. If you could stop the sun and stop all movements, you could free yourself from time, but who can stop the sun? But anything that might be beyond the sun, in other words, beyond the physical nature, then that's free from all concept of time and physical movement. Now, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, this was one of the greatest acts that the Almighty has ever shown the world. It says he is going to show all of his wonders to Pharaoh. He's going to harden Pharaoh's heart in order that he will show him all of his wonders, and in order that he and all of Egypt and all of the generations and Israel will speak about the going out of Egypt forever. And he will bring great osis umelsim, great wonders and great signs. And he will take you out with Yod Chazok of Zereya Netuya, a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And this was the Makos, the 10 plagues. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach we read that there were 10 plagues in Egypt, but on the sea there could have been 250 plagues. And this is the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and so forth. And therefore, one of the greatest acts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the world in Israel was the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. It came from a very, very high source, and it ripped apart the nature. Everything that was done was totally contrary to nature. Well, the river turned to blood, and all the frogs came, and the sea was stood up, and so on. Therefore, it came not from a place beneath the sun, but its source was from a place far above the sun. And therefore it was totally free from the influence of time. Therefore, when Vayhi be'etzem hayem azeh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not bring the redemption until the 15th of Nisan, because he had decreed that for 400 years your seed will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. And that decree started from the birth of Yitzchok, and Yitzchok was born on the 15th of Nisan. Therefore, Lil Shmurim, this was a night that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for. But once the night came, and it was allocated at midnight, then Keherifahim, Vahibe Etzim Ayom Azeh, on that very day, and at that very minute, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out all of Yisrael, Keherif Ayin, and it took the time of the winking of an eyelid. Once the time came, then he did it immediately. Because something that comes from beneath the sun, that has to take time. That has to be put into the whole context of physical movement. Physical movement takes time. It has to be done slowly, be'ita, in its proper time. But something that is coming from above, that's beyond time. And therefore, that happened immediately. This is why we find that the whole Geula and the Yetzia, everything that had to do with the going out, was b'chipozon, was with a great rush, goresh yigoresh. When the time comes, you were there 400 years or 210 years, but when the time comes, they'll rush you out. It'll be keheref ayin, like the winking of an eyelid. When it came to travel 120 mil kilometer from Ramses to Sukkais, which should have taken a long time, it was kikanfei neshorim. It was as if eagles had taken you. Didn't take any time at all. Kumetsu'u. Pare got up in the middle of the night and he said, go out. Goresh yigoresh. They will chase you out. B'chipozon. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, that's how you shall eat the Pesach. B'chipozon rushing. Except there was a machlek, as a dispute between Reb Lezer ben Azariah and Reb Akiva. What rushing were we referring to here? We're referring to the rushings of the Egyptians when they tried to rush us out, or when we rushed out? Were we referring to midnight, or were we referring to the morning? Now, with this, we go one step further. Now we can understand why the Torah gave us the mitzvah of matzah to celebrate this Yom Tov. And it states, "Ushmatim es ha-matzeis, you shall guard the matzeis, because be'etzem hayem hazeh, on this very day I took you out of Egypt." What does one have to do with the other? Since we said, chometz, leavening, has the ingredients of grain flour and water, and matzah has the ingredients of grain flour and water. But there's a basic difference between the two. Chometz is something that was brought into the influence of the physical world, into the influence of time. That's the ingredients of time. You have to take the flour, knead it into dough, and then you have to wait. You have to wait until time affects it. As time affects it, then it rises. Then it becomes chometz. So chometz is a something which is very much a product of Tachas HaShemesh, of this world. Matzah is the same flour and the same water, but you don't wait. As soon as you knead it, you bake it immediately. So you remove from it the time element. In other words, you are removing it from the context of time or from the context of the so-called the physical world. Now, ushmatim es ha-matzis. Guard the matzis carefully. If you make it into dough, you must bake it immediately. If you see if it's rising, you must put it in cold water immediately. Do not leave time affected. This was the mitzvah we were given. Why? Ki be'etzem ayem azeh, because when I came to take you out, I took you out without an ingredient of time. B'chipozein, I took you out b'vihilu, with rapidness. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, he works from above time. And this is the mitzvah, to proclaim that and to celebrate it. Therefore, ushmartem es ha-matzos, ki be'etzem ayem, because on this very day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out, heitzesi etzivoseichem eretz Mitzrayim, he took you out from Egypt. Alright, so now we understand why the whole geula, the whole redemption, was done with such a rapidness. There was no waiting around, no shuffling around, no waiting in line. And now we understand why we have the mitzvah of matzah to celebrate this. And what it has to do with, because on that very day, on that very instant. Now, as mentioned, Rashi brings a drosha. He brings another addition to this. And that was from Rabbi Yeshua. And he said, Omar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua tells us, Al tikere es ha-matzos ela es ha-mitzvot. The word matzah and the word mitzvah, matzos and mitzvot, are written the same way, but the same Hebrew letters. He says, do not read it matzos, but read it mitzvot. Mitzvah hab, kederek shein mach mitzin es ha-matzos, kach ein mach mitzin es ha-mitzvot, elim bol yot chasyes ha-miyad. He says, the just like you must bake the matzah immediately, don't delay it in order that it should become chometz, so should you, when a mitzvah comes to your hand, don't delay it. Do it immediately, otherwise it will become chometz. Now what does this mean? So this is the same principle. When you're doing something that is merely the alma, that has something to do with this world, it must be placed in the context of time. We cannot free ourselves from time. If we try to do it too rapidly, we're going to get into trouble. It says, haste makes waste. And we hurry too much. A lot of bad things come from hurrying. People hurry, they stumble, they fall, they make mistakes, they're driving too fast, they lose control, heaven forbid. They make quick decisions without thinking. They find themselves in a lot of trouble. When you do something that has to do with this world, take your time, because this is the world of time. You cannot free yourself from it. But if you're doing something that does not have to do with this world, you're doing something that has to do with another world, with a mitzvah. The mitzvahs do not come from this world. The mitzvah comes from above. There, if you will bring it too much into the context of time, you're bringing it too much into the influence of the physical nature, you are taking a spiritual mitzvah and you're making it too physical. Now, we live here. We don't live above, we live here. So mitzvahs also have their limitations. Sukkot, you can only fulfill during the time of Sukkot. Mitzvah Pesach is only Pesach. But mitzvah haboli yode, but once it comes to your hand, once there's a time, the time has come to fulfill it, don't procrastinate. Don't take your time doing it. It must be done immediately. It must be done with a great strength. It must be done with a great zeal, with a great zizush. Because if you are going to delay it, if you say, look, I'll do this first and I'll do that, and then this I'll do later, or so forth or so on, you'll diarize it. You'll diarize it for a later time. Then you're bringing it under the influence of time, of this world, and you're taking a spiritual mitzvah and you're making it too physical. And just like if you take matzah and you make it too physical, it becomes chometz. So the same thing, if you take mitzvahs and you make them too physical, they can also become chometz. And this becomes an imperfection in the mitzvah. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshia said, "Ushmatem as a matzah," is just like we have to guard the matzahs. And why? Because this is representing something that's coming from high into this world, not something that belongs in this world. So the same thing when it comes to mitzvahs. Do not let the influence of time have too much effect on them. Otherwise, they're going to become too physical. And that will be, they'll become chomets, just like when matzah becomes too physical. Kederech shemachmitzin, ein machmitzin es ha-matzah is kach, ein machmitzin es ha-mitzvahs. This principle is a very important principle. And we find this in the person himself. The person himself actually was made from two worlds. At the creation, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him ofer min ha-adomah. He made him from the earth, which is very physical, and by Yipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chai, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. See, he was made physically from the earth and spiritually from another world. And there was a synthesis. Now, many times, it's difficult for a person to get moving. Difficult for a person to get going. Today we hear a lot. Today all of your industrialists, your industrial psychologists, or so forth and so on, they're always talking about motivation. We used to call it ambition. Today you find many times people feel, I've lost ambition. I've lost the zest. I've lost motivation. I feel heavy. Now, this is a normal reaction. There's nothing abnormal about it. It's not abnormal. It's a normal reaction. Why is it a normal reaction? Because if we examine the human being, the Maharal says, what is the human being made from? He's made from the earth. You'll never find ambition in the earth. You'll never find zest in the earth. You won't find motivation in the earth. The fact is, the earth likes to sit still. The earth never moves. It's moved, but it never moves. It can be moved by other forces, but it itself does not move, and it cannot move other things. And if man is made from earth, that's why he wants to be noch, he wants to sit still. He refers to this as kfeinis hateva. This is the heaviness of the nature of man. So the nature of man, from the aspect that he was made ofer mino oretz, it is his nature not to be ambitious, not to have a zest for life, not to be light-footed. So if a person feels like that, he doesn't have to get over-worried. But from the other perspective, that Vayipach Ba'apol Nishmas Chaim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into him a Nishmas Chaim, a living soul which came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from an upper world, that's a different story. The upper worlds, they're not bound by heaviness, and they're not bound by time. They fly. They're a nishmas chaim. They are the essence of life. And they move. They're not bound at all. When a person feels ambitious and he feels light, we're assuming he's in good physical health. Many times, right, he doesn't take care of his health, that's a different story. But assuming he's in good physical health, then he should know that that life is coming from the spiritual soul that's in him. When he feels heavy, then he should know that the physical aspect of man has overpowered the spiritual aspect. And this is the constant struggle of man all of the time. Physical aspect, he wants to live beneath the sun. But everything in its proper time, slowly, and so forth. The spirit wants to soar. The spirit has no bounds, it has no limitations. And this is the constant struggle. And this is what we learn in Masechet Oves, in Perikei Mishnah Chof Gimel. Yehuda ben Tema said, "Have you asked Nomer?" A person has to work on himself where he will be as courageous as a leopard. Kal Kanesher, and as light as an eagle. Rotz Katzvi, and as swift as a deer. Vigibor Kaari, and as strong as a lion. Now, he's saying everything which is contrary to the physical nature of man. The physical nature of man is not to be courageous. Because to be courageous, you have to go forward. And the earth doesn't want to go forward. It's certainly not to be Kal Kanesha, certainly not to be light like an eagle that can fly against the force of gravity. Or Rotz Katzvi, as swift as a deer, or as strong as a lion. Now, he adds a few words. He says, "Lasseis retzein avicha shebeshamayim, to fulfill the heaven, to fulfill the will of your Father in heaven." What he is saying here is that, especially when you come to fulfill the Almighty's will, there you have to bring the soul into the forefront. That has to lead. Because we're dealing here with mitzvahs that have to do with another world. So if you want to reach those mitzvahs, you're going to have to bring the soul in the forefront. And you're going to have to let that lead. In order that you can be as courageous as a leopard, as light as an eagle, as swift as a deer, and as strong as a lion. Lasois retzein avicha shebeshamayim, in order to do the will of your Father in heaven. So this is the similar principle which what we're saying. This is what we found all the time by Avraham Avinu. The Torah always proclaims this. By Avraham, by Yashkem Avraham Babokir, the most difficult commands, but they were a mitzvah. Avraham was up first thing in the morning to do it. This was the Isgabrus, the overpowering of the spirit over the body. And we know for a fact, we know when people become spirited, then they can do anything. It's when they lack spirit, then they can't. And when it comes to fulfilling mitzvahs, then you have to elevate yourself beyond the physical world in order to fulfill this. This is why a person should never procrastinate when it comes to a mitzvah, or when it comes to doing something good. Comes doing something good, he should do it. He shouldn't say, "I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it later, I'll do it another time." Many, many times it'll never get done. But not only that, that's not the way, because then you're machmitzin as a mitzvah. Then you're bringing the mitzvahs too much into the influence of the physical world and physical time. So it must be done with a great zeal and zrishus, with a great force. To the contrary, when it comes to this world, things in this world, there you have to be careful. There are many times our sages caution us not to go too fast. For example, it says, don't pursue wealth with a baholo. Sometimes you see people, they hear there's a good deal, and they run for it. And many times they make mistakes. The sages criticized Reuben, the tribe of Reuben,
the 2.5 tribes. It says they went with Baholah. When they saw the land and Eivar HaYarden on the other side of the Jordan, they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait until they went into Eretz Yisrael and conquered Eretz Yisrael and let the land divided. Right away they said, this is what we want. This is ours. We want this. They went with the Baholah. Now this was Mili Dalma. This had to do with material possessions. What happens? It states that when it came to the Golus, to the exile, they were exiled first. They lost it first. It says a person should not run blindly after material possessions. There's a wonderful buy, a wonderful this. No, take it easy. You know, usually salesmen are telling you that you have to make immediate decisions. Take it easy. Think it over. Don't hurry. COVID, when it comes to honor, David HaMelech said, Raidev Stokos. Raidev Shalom, when it comes to Stokos, you have to run after it, pursue. When it comes to peace, you have to run. But it says, Raidev COVID, someone who runs after glory, oh, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. See? Take it easy. It'll come to you in its proper time. There are many things that the Chazal tell us to delay. For example, if you have a confrontation with someone, a confrontation with someone which is not, you have to deal with something which is not good, just delay it. Dayor litzora b'shaitoi. If you got a difficult thing to do, it's not a mitzvah. It's efficient, you'll do it in its proper time. Don't do it earlier than necessary. Agdumi pronias lemekadminon. You have to deal with something difficult or something bad. If it's not a mitzvah, take your time. Do it later. Or for example, the Chazal tell us, like in Menachem Ov, if something comes out, you have a litigation. You have a litigation with a non-Jew in the month of Ov. Delay it. Because our mazel's not good. Someone will say, why delay it? Why should we delay it? Let's get it over with. Let's do it. No, you could do it. But if you delay it, you'll be better off. There's a time to delay things. There's a time to delay it. Many times, someone comes home and he's all upset. He's all fahitzed. He's all upset. And he wants to, something happened. And he wants to tell his wife, his family, whatever it is, what happened. And it involves Lashon Hara. And he says he's got to say it. It's a mitzvah to say it immediately. No. No mitzvah to say it right away. Say it later. Not now. So many times they say, no, you have to say it immediately. So they say it. If he delayed it, he waits a couple hours. And later on he thinks, ah, what do I have to talk about it for? Forget about it. No, he gained by delaying. Or many times someone gets all burnt up. He heard someone did something. So he's going to pick up the phone and call him. And he is going to let him know what he thinks. And his wife tells him, why don't you call him in the morning? No! I'm going to call him now! There, if he would be a chochom, if he would be wise, he would delay it. Because now he might say things that were never necessary to say. He'll wait in the morning, and in the morning he might say, ah, forget about it, it's not worth even talking about it. So many times it's wise to be a little lazy. The Gemara brings in one case, Mishabeach ani asa atzlonim. I believe it was Rebbe Lezer that said. And many times it's wise to be lazy, to be a little slow. It depends what we're speaking about. We're speaking about things that are not mitzvahs. Many times it's wise to be a little slow. Not so smart, not so clever to go with such Jesus. But when we're speaking about things that come from the other world, then it says, Reidev Stokos. Reidev Sholem, Makshu Sholem Verot Fehu. To pursue peace, that's now. Stokos, that's now. Chesed, that's now. Mitzvah should be done now. Don't procrastinate. See, so we have to know which, what we're dealing with. In this concept of time that we're speaking about, there's another very interesting maral where he brings in the Haggadah, we say that Chayav Odom Liris Etz Atzmei Bechol Dov Ador Kilu Hu Yotzei Mimitzrayim. A person has to look at himself in every generation as if he went out of Egypt. Now what does that mean? As if he went out of Egypt. Right, we could say because if our forefathers wouldn't have gone out, we'd still be there. But he says, no, it means more than that. He says, since this redemption was something which was totally divorced from time, it happened at such a high level, therefore it's not something which existed in the past or will exist in the future. Only under the context of time is there a past and a future. Again, we're measuring movement, so something that already moved is the past, and something that has not yet come this way is the future. But something that's out of the context of time, that's always happening. And therefore, the redemption of Egypt was came from such a high source and was so great that something that always happens, it's not something that's historical that happened in the past or will happen in the future, but it always happens. And therefore, a person is obligated to look at himself as if he went out of Egypt. It's always happening. Now, this is something which is very, very deep and difficult to comprehend, but a little indication that perhaps can help us understand this a little better is that there's been many, many cases recorded recently, in the last number of years, by doctors and scientists and other psychologists, of people who were holding on the brink of death. People that were in comas, they were holding on the brink of death, and they were brought back to life. Either they became cured, nisraper, by themselves, or they were brought back to life through modern methods. And they were, many of these people were interviewed as to What did they see? What did they think about when they were so close to death? And in many cases, they all mentioned, many of them mentioned, that they saw their entire life go by them. They could witness everything that happened during their life in a matter of an instant. And they couldn't understand it. In a matter of an instant, they could witness everything that took place. And the interpretation would be, is because in the next world, there's no context of time. If there's no context of time, there's no past and there's no future. Everything that could take here years and years and years can be terrifying. It can be like this, the blink of an eye. It just exists. And this would be similar to here. Now, one final point. If this is how we're supposed to approach mitzvahs, then how much more so are we supposed to approach when it comes to the study of Torah? Because the study of Torah, it states a shochu keneged kula. That's a mitzvah which outweighs all mitzvahs. In the Mishnah Novus, Perek Beis Mishnah Hei, Hu Hayo Eimer. Some say it refers to Hillel. Hillel said, he says a number of things there, and then he says, when it comes to learning Torah, a person should not diarize Torah. He should not say that when I'm free and I have more time, then I will go learn Torah. Because that day will never come when he's free and he has more time. The Rambam brings in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha Zayin. He says, Shema Tamar, if a person wants to gain the crown of Torah, perhaps you'll say, Ache Kabetz Momon Echzov Ekra. That after I gather together a lot of material possessions, then I will go and learn. See? In other words, I'll diarize, I'll take it and put it on for the year of 1995. Ache Eknema Shanitzorich. After I do what I have to do, first for my business and for my practice and for so forth and so on, so that's in 1993, 1994, 1995, I'll learn. In Talmud Machshava Zu Al Libcha, the Rambam says, if this is what comes to your mind, then you can be assured that you will never gain the crown of Torah. You want to learn, you got to say like this. I'll learn first thing in the morning. Not first I'll take care of everything I have to do, and when I'm finished I'll learn. No. He says you have to learn first thing in the morning, and when you're finished with your learning, then you'll do the rest of the things. That's how you have to direct your Torah. Then you'll be successful. Now, this is for two reasons. Because firstly, if a person is looking to learn when he's free from other responsibilities, he will find that in this life we're never free from responsibilities. Unfortunately, the only time he's free from responsibilities, he won't be able to learn either at that time. See? So, This you'll find out. Secondly, when you go for a mitzvah, you cannot put it in the context of time. You have to go gorish yigorish b'chipozit. First thing I'll learn. When I'm finished learning, all right, now let's take care of everything else. So, then he got his learning in. And then he'll be successful. That's why in the days of past, it was common that you had a lot of people that were balei malocha. They were workers. They were artisans, tradesmen, whatever they were. But they learned. They put in many hours of learning. When did they do it? They used to get up very early in the morning, and they used to sit and learn for a good few hours. And then they go to work. First thing is we learn, then we know we learned, then we go to work. Because vice versa, you might not get the chance. And this is how one must pursue a mitzvah. So this is the explanation why we find that everything that had to do with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, was b'chipozayin, with a great bibihilu, with a great rapidly, with a great rapidness, a great hurrying, keharef ayin, be'etzem ayim azeh, on that very day, the wink of an eye. Because when we're dealing with vorim gedolim, great things, they come from above the spectrum of the sun in the solar system, and there is no context of time, of delay, of waiting. And this is how one must. And this is the concept of matzah, and this is how one must pursue mitzvahs and Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.